Well, good morning, everyone. Today is the 18th of August, 2013. And we are beginning with Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentaries number 21A. And we're on page 60 of the Path of Higher Evolution compilation, which is including relevant references from Initiation, Human and Solar, and the Rays and the Initiations, as well as the Treatise on Cosmic Fire. We've been pointing out the relationship of the Great Bear to the Pleiades and how this is really a correspondence of Atma and Buddhi, giving a definite atmic connection, a cosmic atmic connection to the Great Bear. This has been implied in the chart on chart 5 of page 344, and also it has been suggested, hinted at, on page 1162 of a treatise on cosmic fire. So I think it's important to realize this atmic-buddhic relationship. We've been looking at these sparks of absolute sparks of parental love, who are the liberated volatile essence which is attaining the cosmic astral plane and later the cosmic mental plane when setting off on path two. And we have been thinking about whether path seven, onto which the master on path two alchemizes himself, is part of a dual unit with path two. It seems that all of those who tread path two, he said all, travel to path seven. So the question is, when the process of path two is at work, how much of path seven is pervading that process or somehow influencing it, especially the breaking through of the web, the separating web between the cosmic physical plane and the cosmic astral plane. That is a problem which I've tried to deal with. We are confronted with these great archaic stanzas. They are really difficult. We have no real bearing, no real anchor here. It's what the Tibetan has said, gathering from these archaic stanzas certain ideas that give us any point of entry whatsoever into their interpretation. What can be offered is some ideas that come to mind, some associated ideas or thoughts which may help others gain a grip, a method of entry into the interpretation at a later time. The type of learning required to rightly interpret these matters is the learning that a master has, really. They all undergo a certain period of training for the different paths upon which they are to embark, and that period of training would make clear to them the meaning of these archaic stanzas and that which lies ahead. Of course, then all this symbolism has to be interpreted in terms of the life they are living. Well, we are in an entirely different position. We are looking ahead to these paths as the dimmest sort of vision, which, however, in a way, we are preparing for even now. There are things that we do now that are building in the qualities and the energy structure which will make the treading of a certain path, probably the path by which we descended, inevitable. But we don't know that yet. We only have the talk about seeing through a glass darkly, as St. Paul said. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then we shall see face to face. That's what we're dealing with here in these stanzas. So we just have to, you know, we're not even walking like little children, we're crawling. And maybe when the group mind is applied to the interpretation here, the many different pieces which will help to constellate a valid interpretation will be brought together. This remains to be seen. Most of the students, almost all of the students in the field, have many other things to be concerned about before worrying about a valid interpretation of these stanzas. If we get the general idea, as he gave to us in Initiation Human and Solar, and certain general impressions that can be gathered also from the more detailed presentation of in Cosmic Fire and Ray's initiations, we will have something. We may not know every detail, but if we can learn how to think about what he presents us, if not arrive yet at the proper thought, but at least how to approach, then this is at least something. As he says here, great is the interlocking, the interdependence, and the interpenetration. The three intimate constellations, Great Bear Pleiades, and also Sirius, but Great Bear and Pleiades themselves in relation to our solar logos, and as it says, incidentally and by the way, in relation to our Earth. So let's read. Yes, let's read the stanza straight through before there is any added pollution of additional thought. And let's see what impression we gain. It's from an archaic stanza. It's not said which, and it's from Cosmic Fire, page 1270. The cosmic burning ground of living fire lieth in the nethermost part of the western heavens. Its smoke riseth unto that high place where dwell the sacred laws, to whom the triple unity within our solar space tender their offering and their fealty. Its scent of spices sweet and faint aroma of incandescent something, reach the uttermost confines of the starry vault. The two arise and pass the essential flame through their burning ground, blending their lesser smoke with the greater. This smoke formeth a path which reacheth forth unto those spheres within the radiant form of that attractive life, to whom the sons of being and of men, in all their many grades, offer their prayers, their life, and adoration. The master on this sphere, which is known as the fourth, and is not holy, seeth the fiery way. He respondeth to its heat and seeks to warm himself with its waves of radiant electric fire. The center at the midway point within the great Kumaric body formeth the pyre. It pulsates and it glows. It becomes a sea of living fire and draws within itself its own. The smoke which issues from this fiery wheel formeth a living way, veiling the steps ahead. The master, with the midway wheel on fire, enters within the smoke and enters blind. He sees no step ahead. He hears no voice. He feels no guiding hand. Only the fifth and latest known aids him to forward grope and pass straight onward through the veiling clouds. Only the awakening of his wheel may indicate his progress through the new magnetic field. Only the sons of, and then there's an inserted comment, Gemini, only the sons of Gemini know the way in. Only the sons with blazing fire issuing from the midway point may enter in. They throw their beams ahead to illuminate the way. The adept of the funeral pyre, the master of the blazing sphere, consumes himself, offering himself the one that is, or offering himself to the one that is, offering himself, the one that is, the new-made threefold word, the sacred ohm, the fire of God. He treads the burning ground and blazes forth to those who watch as a radiant flaming sun. It looks like a verb here, he and draws the people onward to their goal, warming their hearts, producing dual fire, and leading all towards the portal of the sun, and thence to, and here it says Gemini. Is this an insert from the Tibetan? Is this an insert from AAB? We don't know, but apparently there's a reluctance to give the other words, and simply, instead, someone is summarizing them as the word Gemini. The mystic word is veiled by the letters 4, E, M, and A, and O. In the significance of their numbers and the utilization of their colors, is the smoke dissipated? Well, that is utterly daunting, isn't it? I suppose if one were a master preparing for entrance onto the second path, it would not be so daunting. But it is. It is at the present time. So then, let us begin. There is a cosmic burning ground. It seems to be occurring in the cosmic etheric, cosmic ethers. And not yet on the cosmic astral plane. It is of living fire because it is in the fiery worlds, which are the cosmic ethers, or the cosmic etheric planes. It lieth in the nethermost part of the western heavens. Well, west is a term often associated with form. And the western heavens, they may be form-related. The nethermost part, well, this is on a low plane. Now, of the cosmic ethers, the Buddhic plane is the lowest, and it is related to the love which characterizes this path, but we cannot be sure about this. Not yet. Its smoke riseth So the burning ground is on a lower plane than the plane to which the liberated essence will rise. The burning ground, I believe, is on the cosmic etheric planes. We have to decide on which one of the cosmic etheric planes we will find it, or whether in some way we will find it on all. We remember that this electric spark, that is the volatile essence, I call it that, an alchemical term, has to be broken up or liberated so that it can pass through the etheric barrier separating the a cosmic physical plane from the cosmic astral plane. Its smoke riseth unto that high place where dwell the sacred laws. I mean, you know, Allah is a generic term for a god, term for a great, well, for a high being or god, to whom the triple unity within our solar space tender their offerings. Now, we don't know, but the triple unity, triple unity could be the three in one. Three in one, or the three persons of the Logoic Trinity. And I'll show you the map that, here is the map. These are the three persons, and as you see, or the three Logoi, and as you see, they are still very much on the cosmic physical plane, focused on the Logoic level. They are a triple unity. Whenever you have the three persons of the Trinity, you do have a three in one. The three persons of the Trinity, which always, in tradition, make a three in one. I'm going to put this here, and I'm going to call this three in one. Okay. So a burning is taking place. Its scent of spices sweet and faint aroma of incandescent something. Okay, so I see what has happened here. We are not dealing with anything bitter. No bitterness here, but a process involving that which is sweet and attractive, suggesting the second ray. And the incandescence, suggesting the fifth ray with its great luminosity. And the faint, it's kind of interesting how they mix the senses here, because there's an aroma of something that is visual. A faint aroma of incandescent what? Now, these sacred laws, to whom the triple deities, the triple unity, offer their fealty, one suspects the offerings is the burnt offering, in a way, the burning of that which is cosmically physically based. But these laws may be found on the cosmic astral plane, because the offering seems to be made to the rulers of the place, whither the released electric spark will go. So this is all about disengagement from the cosmic physical plane. Disengagement. These are the ideas that come, you know. So, as I say, there's so much given by the Tibetan which would take months to pour over, and this is some of the most difficult material. So it has to be looked at as simply an attempt to offer thoughts which tend in the direction of reality. Maybe. So here we are offering thoughts which may tend in the direction of reality. We will see. So these laws may be found on the cosmic astral plane. In any case, there is a triple unity. The triple unity within our solar space. Is it our solar space or the entire solar system? So is this the entire solar system, or just the space, so to speak, which is ours and which belongs to our planetary logos? That is the question. And this scent, this aroma, you know, we have to always say that the sense of smell has to do with the monad. Excuse me. Has to do with the monad, and the it's akin to idealism, which leads home to the monadic plane and to the monad. The two arise. Now the two. I mean, there's so much discussion of Gemini, so since there is much discussion of Gemini, can we be dealing with its influence? And this is an influence from the fourth creative hierarchy, which is unmanifested on the cosmic physical plane, and pass the essential flame through their burning ground. The essential flame, this may well be the monad, or as it is called in the discussion of this path, the electrical spark, which has to be, as I tried to say earlier, the adhesions which are holding it to its own monadic vehicle, and thus to the cosmic physical plane, have to be broken up, and the electric spark has to be able to pass through and onto the cosmic astral plane. So there are two burning grounds here, or two fiery processes, one is the burning, which is the funeral pyre, and the other is the burning ground of the two. And they, the two, have their own burning ground. And so there is a lesser burning ground and a greater, maybe a fiery process induced by the influence of the fourth unmanifested creative hierarchy. Maybe. Okay. And I just thought of something connected perhaps with the Western heavens. Well, the heavens, let's look at this. Heavens are higher dimensions. And it may be that those in the West refer to the form, the cosmic form nature, or the personality of the solar logos. And then the nethermost part of the Western heavens would be the cosmic etheric plane, the cosmic physical, the cosmic dense physical plane, I'm going to put that in. But it would not be considered part of the heavens. It's not principled. So, cosmic, dense, physical plane would be below the feet of the dragon, as it were. Would not be... Oh, no, that won't do. Sorry. Cosmic, dense, physical plane. I have to... C-O-S-M-I-C. Dense, physical plane. Physical plane. Yeah. Replace. Yes. And onward. So the cosmic, dense, physical plane would not be part of the heavens. Because they are not above. So the entire threefold personality of the solar logos or planetary logos would be the Western heavens, and the higher cosmic planes, the maybe Eastern heavens. Now let's see how this looked. Western heavens, yes. So the nethermost part has to do then with the etheric planes whereon the burning ground would occur. The nethermost part has to do with the cosmic etheric planes whereon we would find the burning ground. Well, basically I've said the same thing as I said earlier, only I spiraled it up to make the entire cosmic etheric planes nethermost in any principled sense. It just occurred to me. And along the way, other things will occur. But at least, you know, hints and directed thoughts will be given. So two burning grounds are going to be merged, or two fiery processes, one induced by the Gemini hierarchy under the influence of Gemini, and the other induced from below. So one burning ground induced from above, where the twins in their creative hierarchy form are found, and the other a burning ground which comes from aspiration towards the cosmic astral plane. The smoke formeth a path which reacheth forth unto those spheres within the radiant form of that attractive life to whom the sons of being and of men in all their many grades offer their prayers, their life, and their adoration. Well, always when we're bringing together, when some sort of matter is being destroyed, smoke arises. When some sort of matter is being destroyed, smoke arises. We just have this analogy, of course, from our own physical plane. There will always be smoke, and where there is fire, there will be smoke under normal circumstances. Formeth a path, and the path suggests a kind of antikarana reaching into still higher worlds, which reacheth forth unto those spheres. Now we have to remember that every plane is a sphere, as really is every ray. But anyway, we're talking about the planes now, which reacheth forth unto those spheres within the radiant attractive form of that attractive life. Now assume we are talking of the solar logos as he manifests on the cosmic astral plane. I think we are not speaking of events on the cosmic physical plane. At least the sources of attraction in this process, which tends towards the cosmic astral plane, are not to be found. Are not to be found on the cosmic physical plane. Because the prayers of the sons of being, now, you know, DK said he was an initiate into the mysteries of being, said he was an initiate into the mysteries of being. So this refers to the monad. So the sons of being, are higher than the sons of men. In all the many grades, offer their prayers. It is their life, their adoration. We are speaking of the God of our solar system. The solar logos. And when we pray to God, of course, we are praying to that great being which informs the entire solar system. Sometimes we imagine we are praying to the one and only God, but we are, you know, that would be a great feat indeed. We're praying to an emanated representation of the one and only, to the God of our planet, to the God of our solar system, to the higher powers that we can actually reach. So to whom the sons of being and of men in all their many grades offer their prayers to their life and their adoration. So there is an attractive life. The smoke path is reaching to an attractive life. Is it a heart center on the cosmic astral plane? It is to some center which represents the solar logos. And, you know, we did lots of research on the heart of the sun and found that it could represent three different sources. That's the egoic lotus of the solar logos, the subjective as it's called, subjective sun on the cosmic astral plane. That's not the only meaning of subjective sun, but one of the meanings. And the etheric heart center of the solar logos on the cosmic physical plane, and we are assuming on the monadic level, based on chart 8 and the way that the different chakras are of man are apportioned upon or within the four ethers. So anyway, we know that this particular path is destined at first for the cosmic mental plane, even though there are fifth ray monad masters, a large number of them operating on this path. Eventually the cosmic mental plane will be involved, but first the cosmic astral plane, and so we need some sort of representation of the great life on the cosmic astral plane, whither the smoke of the burning grounds can travel. The master on this sphere, which is known as the fourth and is not holy, seeth the fiery way. Now, okay, the masters do wield power on the Buddhic plane and take initiations there. And there is a place in Cosmic Fire where it tells us that the fourth and fifth initiation are taken on the Buddhic plane. I don't know whether I can find that. Maybe I should just... fourth, fifth, initiations, Buddhic. Maybe. Well, this is the rays and the initiations. See, those who have taken the fourth and fifth initiations, Lords of Compassion, these follow very closely. Aha. Maybe in a treatise on cosmic fire, the idea of star 7 will tell us something. Let's see. Becomes a five-pointed star. Maybe it descends upon him. Okay, at the final two initiations, we set a man free from the three worlds and enable him to function in the logoic body of vitality and to wield the force which animates that logoic vehicle. The initiate becomes the five-pointed star, and it descends upon him, and he is seen at its very center. The descent is brought about through the action of the initiator wielding the rod of power and puts the man in touch with the center in the body of the logos of which he is a part. The two initiations called the sixth and seventh take place on the atmic plane. Okay. Well, the sixth and the seventh, at least in relation to the atmic plane, the five-pointed star blazes forth within itself, as the esoteric phrase has it, and becomes the seven-pointed star. It descends upon the man, and he enters into the flame. Let's see, one more. No, I don't think this is the one to consider. It's the one over here. The first two initiations take place upon the astral plane, but that has been given rise to a misunderstanding. They are felt profoundly in connection with the astral and physical bodies and with the lower mental and affect their control, the chief effect being felt in these bodies. The initiate may interpret this, but it must be remembered that the major initiations are taken in the causal body or dissociated from that body on the Buddhic plane. There is the implication that initiations 4 and 5 are taken on the Buddhic plane. Because the 6th and 7th are taken upon the atmic plane, and obviously this rises. So let's see what I have here. Seven star initiation, a star, seven Buddhic. Maybe, yes, and this is probably going to the same place. Yes, he goes to the same place. Well, anyway, I don't think I can go further with that right now. The question is, what sphere are we talking about? See, we gave two interpretations about the burning ground and where it would occur. We studied some earlier burning grounds. They were between the Hall of Ignorance and of Learning, between the Hall of Learning and of Wisdom, and then after the Hall of Wisdom on the shores of the River of Life, was it? Anyway, responsible for the destruction of the causal body. But that lies in the past, and we may be talking about the Buddhic plane. The master on this sphere, which is known as the fourth and is not holy, seeth the fiery way. Now, is this occurring on the cosmic physical plane? If so, we may have to consider the Buddhic plane, which is the fourth and is not holy. It is the dense plane of the four cosmic ethers. Under those spheres, within the radiant form of that attractive life to whom the sons of being and of all men in their many grades offer their prayers, life, and adoration. The question is, where is this, where is this burning occurring? We're going to look at that quite soon. So are we talking about some kind of process going on our Buddhic plane? Or there is another fourth cosmic ethers. There is another fourth which connects with the fourth unmanifested creative hierarchy. Really, it is a sixth subplane of the cosmic astral plane. That's just an association. I don't think we're there yet. He respondeth to its heat and seeks to warm himself in the waves of radiant fire electric. So this reminds us of how DK talked about the kind of knowledge that occurs for this individual. It was the knowledge of heat or responsiveness to heat and knowledge of the waves of warm fire. Let's look at that more closely. And what we have here is the reference on Cosmic Fire from 1251, which is similar to the one we are just considering, the attributes which the adept on this path has to possess prior to taking the needed training for the seventh cosmic method of approach, which would be the law, which would be the path of absolute sonship. And this must be something he develops on the path of magnetic work, is responsiveness to heat and a knowledge of rhythm. We talked about how he will need this to understand vibration and manipulate different substance energies of different vibrations. These words will, of course, mean nothing to the uninitiated, but to some it will convey much, and when it is noted that there will be found coupled with these two attributes an ability to, and here it is, see the dancing of the particles of heat and the waves of warm vibration. This is that to which the archaic stanza referred here with warm himself and see within its waves of radiant fire electric. These two sections are related. So the master on this sphere, which is known as the fourth and is not holy, seeth the fiery way. So we want to know, in a way, is the master still in relation to the Buddhic plane? Seeth the fiery way, and the way, that way will lead to the cosmic astral plane. He respondeth to its heat and seeks to warm himself within its waves of radiant fire electric. This is the heat and the waves. This is the heat of the way and the waves of radiant fire electric are born to him upon this way. So, he's still on the cosmic physical plane and anticipating the movement towards the cosmic astral plane, which will be granted to him when the funeral pyre has done its work. In a way, he's dying to the cosmic physical plane. A center at the midway point within the great Kumaric body formeth the pyre. Now, this is interesting. We are probably still in the body of the planetary logos. He is the great Kumara. We have to ask, are his centers or chakras all found upon the Buddhic plane, the fourth cosmic ether? Because we are gathering that the midway point could be considered here, well, the midway point within the great Kumaric body, we can be talking about the body, maybe the cosmic physical plane in its entirety, and the Buddhic plane as the midway point. And we would be looking for one of the planetary logoic etheric centers on that plane. Oh, this is possible. You know, it certainly would be the midway point of the great Kumaric body. From another point of view, if the great Kumaric body was simply the cosmic ethers, not considering the dense physical body of the planetary logos as part of the great Kumaric body, then we could look to the monadic plane, whereon we will find, I think, the heart center, etheric heart center of our solar logos, and maybe on some subplane, different subplane of that monadic plane, the heart center of our planetary logos. But he seems pretty clear about the chakras being found on the planetary logoic chakras being found on the Buddhic plane. The problem there is, of course, that it doesn't correspond to the other chart he gave, at least of man's chakras. Is there a higher correspondence? Is there a higher correspondence, Tyra T, for the planetary logos? In other words, as I've kind of shown you before and shown myself, here are the chakras in a man's etheric portion of the astral body and etheric portion of the physical plane, and they are on different subplanes. So higher chakras are in different subplanes. They're not all on the fourth plane. They're not all on the lowest of the etheric planes. And is there not a correspondence that the planetary logoic chakras would not all be on the Buddhic plane? But the Buddhic plane is, in a way, midway. It is midway in the great Kumaric body. Now, is there any midwayness in the higher four planes? Well, not really. The midway point would be between the atmic and the monadic plane. That's not really a midway point. We could, in a way, use the words midway loosely and say, well, the monadic plane is roughly midway, and therefore the heart center of the planetary logos, etheric heart center, is on the monadic plane. But we cannot be sure. A center, and we have to ask, is it a heart center? At the midway point within the great Kumaric body formeth the pyre. It pulsates and it glows. It becomes... Well, you see, there's other things indicated. It pulsates and it glows. It becomes a sea of living fire and draws within itself its own. Now, here is the problem. There is the suggestion here that the sea of fire is involved. And this is the... This is the logoic plane. Now, the great Kumaric body, a center at the midway point within the great Kumaric body, other things occur to me, alternative interpretation, could the great Kumaric body find itself only on the logoic plane, and could the Buddhic level of that logoic plane be the place whereon this occurs? This burning occurs and draws within itself its own. It becomes a sea of living fire. And draws within itself its own. Maybe we could say, whatever center this is, it may draw the energies of the four cosmic ethers, because, you know, we are interested in leaving the logoic body. Now, we are in the head of the planetary logos or solar logos if we focus on the logoic plane. And there are centers within the head, one of which is a heart center. This may be a little, as they say, fetched from afar. I'm just looking for this midway point. You know, are we dealing with a kind of heart center of a planetary logos on the Buddhic plane, or do we imagine that that heart center corresponding to chart 8 could be found on the monadic plane? Or can we look further, since the monadic plane is not a midway point, could we look at the great Kumaric body as if, of course, Sanat Kumara is focused on the logoic plane, it is his true home, and could this center we are talking about be within his head centers? Now, we're definitely speaking of a heart, somehow. That much we can see. We are definitely speaking of a kind of heart center. Because this is a path in which the law of attraction and the great second ray is so very important. The smoke which issues from this fiery wheel, it is a chakra, but where is it? This fiery wheel of a logos, probably a planetary logos, is a chakra, and formeth a living way. So the smoke and the living way and the idea of the Antikarana are all together. The smoke which arises from the sacrificial burning is a kind of Antikarana, leading to the cosmic astral plane. And something heart-like is on fire. But on which plane? I've offered three alternatives: the Buddhic plane, the monadic plane, and the centralmost point of the logoic plane, which could be considered a kind of one of the seven centers, and a heart center at that. We have to find a midway point. The Buddhic plane is a midway point in possibly a great Kumaric body, which involves the entire cosmic physical plane and the, you know, planetary logoic scheme, or we could look at the Kumaric body as only upon the logoic plane. Well, it's a fourfold pyre, and there are four torches, and I cannot help but think that the four ethers are all involved in this burning in some way. All four. The master with the midway wheel on fire, so it is a heart, a correspondence to a heart center on some level of the cosmic ethers. It is that much, I think. And the question is, where? A master, of course, we seem to be told, takes the sixth and seventh initiation on the atmic plane, although higher correspondences are involved on the monadic and logoic. He's said to take the fourth initiation on the Buddhic plane, and that is logical enough, but also the fifth, it is implied that he takes the fifth initiation on the Buddhic plane. So the atmic higher correspondence must be active. I'm going to try to look at something here. Fifth initiation, Buddhic. At the fifth initiation, he ascends with the heavenly man onto the fifth plane, from the human standpoint, the atmic. and that the 60 has dominated the second cosmic ether. So that is not the reference we're looking for. That is the very logical reference, that each initiation corresponds to the same number of plane. When a man has attained the consciousness of the Buddhic plane, he has raised his consciousness to that of the heavenly man in whose body he is a cell. This is achieved at the fourth initiation, the liberating initiation, and at the fifth, the atmic plane, and so forth. So this is a different interpretation, and one which I have often used and which makes a lot of sense. The one from Cosmic Fire that I quoted earlier, showing the sixth and seventh degree initiates being initiated on the atmic plane, is a different presentation altogether. Okay. Well, on the Buddhic plane, when flashing forth at initiation, the number signifies the full development of the fifth principle. Okay. Or quality, the completed cycle of the ego upon the five rays of the Mahachohan and the assimilation of all that is to be learned from them. It infers the full unfoldment of five of the egoic petals. Well, that's the very first initiation. All right, and then comes exactly the place that we have been talking about. At the final two initiations which set a man free and enable him to function in the logoic body of vitality and to wield the force which animates that logoic vehicle, the initiate becomes a five-pointed star. But he... the sixth and seventh take place on the atmic plane. You see what I'm saying? So this is a lower, in a way, a lower interpretation. Okay. But it is something that has to be considered. At least there are probably effects on the Buddhic plane when the fifth initiation is taken, and effects on the atmic plane when the sixth and seventh are taken. But the other reference to which we looked, seems to tell us that the initiations occur on the same planes as the same number as the initiation is. All right, so anyway, we have a midway wheel on fire. A midway wheel is always a heart center. He enters within the smoke and enters blind. So he knows, he enters into the stream of that which has been destroyed by a descending stream from Gemini. At least that is one source of the destruction. He sees no step ahead. He hears no voice. All right, I think that what we can do now is say that this is the end of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentaries number 21A and Path of Higher Evolution Compilation, page 63, and beginning of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentaries number 21B, A Path of Higher Evolution Compilation, page 63. So